Again, to the book of Ephesians here, and we're making some good progress here in our studies. I think anyway, it's a lot of detail here, but we're here in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. We are in the section now. This is that second great wonderful prayer that you find recorded. Do you guys pray?
Yes.
We talked about this last week, right? Do y'all pray? Without ceasing, he says. That's right. Do you breathe? You breathe without ceasing, right? You really do. And so if you want to make a parallel there, just think that concept. You just always talk to the Lord about what you're doing. Do you talk to the Lord about what you're doing? You do, don't you? And the Lord knows what you're in your heart, and He wants to be intimately involved in your life that way. You just talk with Him about His Word, talk with Him about what's going on. And it is interesting that this second prayer that Paul records here in the book of Ephesians here, it's a prayer, of course, about spiritual strength. Anybody here interested in being stronger spiritually? Anybody here, right? Or not? You're not so much interested in that? Okay, good. Yeah, just checking out, okay? So watch this. Let's pick up at Ephesians chapter number 3. We're going to go back to verse 11, although we're not that far back. But when he says, at verse 11, he says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we're thankful that we can spend some time again this morning studying your word, especially in these verses that we focus on. Where what you're focusing on in relationship to us as believers, your word working in us and strengthening us. And we do pray that we would have an interest in this in our daily lives so that we indeed would see what Paul prayed for become a reality in time in our own personal lives. And we'll thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let me start today by asking a couple of questions here. How many of you are interested or have any kind of interest in staying in shape or working out? What about the rest of y'all? Come on now. All right.
Does
it show? He says, you know. Okay, let me quickly think of a different way to start my message here, okay? I figured every hand would go up here. You know, yeah, close the Bible. Okay, let's close in prayer kind of thing. You know, I thought, hey, listen, this is Southern California. Everybody's here is interested in working out. What's the deal here, right? Yeah, he says, look, he said, I didn't say it, he said, look around. That's what he said. I didn't say that, right? Okay.
You already know.
There you go. That's the excuse, he says.
Yeah.
See, the folks that are listening on the internet, you really should be here so you can get all the interaction that's going on here. Because what Jim said is we all know we're going to get new bodies, so why waste the time with these bodies, right? Kind of a thing. But, of course, you know what I'm driving at, is that if for those of you who do have an interest in staying in shape, okay, I'll talk to you, everybody else can go to sleep, turn your hearing aids off, whatever. I'm just joking. No, but if you do have an interest in staying in shape or strengthening yourself or exercising so you can live longer or whatever, those kind of things, okay? So, y'all really do have some interest in that, right? Even if you just go walk for a little bit every day, that kind of thing. But you understand that if you do have an interest in taking care of yourself from a physical body. This is a bad start, isn't it? But if you do have an interest in taking care of yourself from a physical standpoint, you understand that that involves activity. You know, you got to get up off the couch and got to go for a walk or ride your bike or walk the dog or some go to the gym and maybe lift some weights or do some push-ups or sit-ups or that kind of thing. If you do have an interest in that, and you want to do that, I actually have some tickets up here I want to sell, so let's not... No, listen. For those who do have an interest in that kind of thing, what's the goal of exercise? To do what? It's real simple. It's to be strengthened. All right? Did you notice in this prayer, verse 16, Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be what? This prayer is about strengthening. But strengthening where? In the inner man. Now, the reason I started out the message this morning with the question is, one, I thought I would get a better answer from everybody, right? But really, the reason is this. That Scripture identifies the fact that there is a connection between the physical part of us as human beings and the spiritual part of us. And what I mean by a connection there, I should say there's a parallel. There's a parallel. Do you have a physical heart?
Yes.
You do. And Scripture says that with the heart man believeth. But is that your physical heart?
No.
It's the part of you that's non-material. The idea of heart, the innermost part of you. Do you have, from a physical standpoint, do you have bowels?
Yes.
You do have bowels, right? Well, it's interesting how Scripture says the bowels of the saints are refreshed. He says it in Philemon, right? It's not talking about your physical bowels. It's talking about what? The innermost parts of your non-material being. Your soul, basically. Do you have a mind? Some of y'all would say no about the other person, right? But do you have a mind? You do have a mind. Well, Scripture talks about the mind guarding your heart and mind. But that's talking about the idea of the non-material, not your physical brain, but the non-material part of you. See that? Do you have eyes? Do you have ears? You have physical eyes, physical ears. But Scripture talks about the eyes of your understanding. The Lord Jesus Christ says, he that has ears to hear them. He's not talking about physical ears there. What I'm saying is this. When you look at what Scripture, when it's talking about your makeup as a human being, you have a spirit, a soul, and a body. Your spirit is made up of spirit. Your soul is made up of soul. That's the actual material. And your body is flesh. It's made of, it's carbon based. But there is a parallel. Because there's a parallel, that's why we're going to use the illustration here of exercising. If you want to stay in shape physically, if you want to lose some weight physically, you want to lower your blood pressure, get your heart rate better, whatever it might be, and so forth, you understand the concept, okay, in order to be strengthened physically, I need to do some kind of movement. Maybe I don't need to run a marathon or a sprint, but I need to do some kind of movement. Okay, are you on board with me now? Thank you, okay? I noticed I didn't give you a chance to answer that time, did I, right? Understand the concept. So too, there is a definite parallel in the non-material part of the believer. When that verse says to be strengthened, that means you can be strengthened in the inner man. Just like you can be strengthened in the outer man by physically exercising, so too we can be strengthened in the inner man. So now we need to ask a different question. How many of us are interested in that kind of strengthening? Now every hand goes up. Okay, at least we got to that part, right? You understand? Obviously, yes, this is much more vital necessarily than the outer man and so forth because the outer man perishes. But we understand that when that verse talks about strengthening, that there's an absolute strengthening that can occur in the inner man of the believer. Since we all agreed, because the hands went up and so forth, that we are interested in that, what would be some follow-up questions that we would ask since we are interested in strengthening the inner man?
How
does it happen? See, if you're interested, let's say you can't run a mile right now, and you want to run a mile, what would be some logical questions to ask? How can I work up to it? How much should I begin to walk each day, and then how much should I run, say a couple weeks later, and so forth? What should I eat? What should I drink? All those kinds of things. Should I stop doing this? Should I start doing... You see, there's logical questions you should ask and can ask that are appropriate when it comes to the issue of strengthening the outer man to whatever it is that you want to strengthen the outer man, right? Well, so too, when it comes to strengthening the inner man, there are questions that we need to ask that Scripture does answer. So, what would be the questions? We say, how to strengthen the inner man? Let's be more specific.
How fast.
How fast, right? That's a good one, right? Okay. What else? What do we need to do to strengthen the inner man? What else? If you were going to strengthen the outer man, what kind of questions would you ask about nutrition, about food? I need to stop going to Krispy Kreme three times a day, right? I need to start eating fruits and vegetables and good sources of protein, that kind of a concept, right? See, there's specific things that you can ask, specific things that you identify. And so too, when it comes to the Word of God, there are specific things that the Word of God identifies that we need to make sure that we're partaking of to strengthen the inner man. Okay? Consistency is huge, right? Why is consistency vital? Like anything else. If you want to be able to run that mile, say, within 30 days from now, you can't wait to 30 days from now to get up off the couch. You got to do it today and then build up a little bit, right? And a little bit every day, a little bit every day. We understand that concept. What else would be important?
Yep.
Okay, and something to maintain the strength, right? So you want to continue to eat the good nutrition. Continue to drink the good water. Continue to exercise a little bit. So the maintenance is important. I think I saw Denise's. Yes, go ahead.
You need the right coach.
You need the right coach. Isn't that true? Don't you? You know, sometimes a coach needs a couple of nice encouraging words. Sometimes the coach needs a big boot, right? Right? But you're right. You need a good... You make sure you have the right coach. It's interesting that he mentions the Holy Spirit here. Isn't that so? Okay. What else? So right coach is important. What else might you need? What's that? Right self-talk. That's important. What do you suppose the self-talk is going to be for the believer? It's Scripture, is it not? Specific verses that you can quote to yourself. What else do you need?
The right fuel and motivation.
The right motivation. The right fuel. Exactly. Very good. What else? How many of y'all go to the gym? Maybe I shouldn't ask that publicly, right? But when you go to the gym, do you go with a partner, with someone else? And if so, why? Motivation, accountability, encouragement to help you progress. Isn't there a parallel with the life of the believer? They call it fellowship. You see, you go through struggles, challenges, difficulties, and so forth. Not only is it good to have a great coach, but a close friend. Someone you can talk to. Someone that will get you right to the right scripture, the right verses and so forth. Did you ask? Yes, go ahead.
If you fall down and get injured,
your friend is there to pick you back up. Mm-hmm. Isn't that so true? Come on, let's get up. We can make it through this kind of a thing. See that? Isn't that amazing, these parallels? Okay. So let's do this then. Let's go back and we got to backtrack a little bit on some of these other verses to get kind of fill in some details here. Notice that Paul gets to this issue of this second prayer in the book of Ephesians, verse 11, because he's thinking of the eternal purpose which God purposed in Christ Jesus. So I ask you this: what is God's eternal purpose that He purposed in Christ? You should know this by now. What is it? It's to give the preeminence to who? It's to set the Lord Jesus Christ up as the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the preeminent one in all of the universe. That's the eternal purpose that He purposed in Christ Jesus. Now, who's involved in that?
We are.
You are, as members of the body of Christ. You are going to be absolute participants in God. And you are already, by the way, absolute participants in God's eternal purpose that He purposed in Christ Jesus the Lord. Isn't that amazing? What does your future look like?
Glorious.
It depends on your time horizon, right? You know? And so if you're looking from an eternal standpoint, it is glorious. And because you can look at this from an eternal standpoint, that's why even in time, you can say, my future is glorious. See that there? What's that? Way better. Way better, okay? So then he says this, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. We've talked about the issue of the faith of Christ a number of weeks ago. You can go back and study those lessons, but you can see when he says boldness and access. Remember I mentioned last time that the details that Paul prays for in this is a bold prayer. And he's utilizing his access to ask God for these things. He says, what's that?
It's something that's real.
Exactly. So now watch what he says at verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. What's that mean? What does he mean? My tribulations for you. Was Paul suffering for the Ephesians in the sense of suffering for their sins?
No.
Well, then in what sense, he says, my tribulations for you? What's that, Nathan? That's right. Carrying the message of grace has consequences. For those who reject the message of grace, you can expect the consequences of opposition and tribulations. For those who believe the message of grace, you can expect glory. And so can they. See that there? So Paul's saying, listen, my desire for you Ephesians, don't faint, don't give up, don't quit. And it's interesting that he couples together the possibility of their fainting, their quitting, giving up, with the need for strengthening. Hence, prayer for strength. Whenever we get into a situation where we in our lives maybe feel quite discouraged or quite down, does that ever happen to anyone here? If it hasn't, just hang around long enough, okay? Right? And for some, it might happen more frequently than others. For some, it might be an ongoing battle, just in your personal psyche about life, about the past. It might be an ongoing, constant thing with you. And that's when you need to remember verses like that. He says, "For I desire that you faint not." We don't need to give up. It might feel like it at times. You might truly just want to throw in the towel and say, "What's the use? What's the point? Everything seems to be losing. The battle around us seems to be falling apart." You read a verse like that, and what should you do? We have to take our eyes off of the circumstances that is causing us to be discouraged or depressed. We have to think back to the eternal glory, God's eternal plan. That's how you change the thinking. Bertie, you talked about the self-talk, right? Okay? There it is right there. If and when you catch yourself where you're beating yourself up, where you're looking at the circumstance and just, what's the use, what's the point, forget it, you have to stop yourself right then. You have to tell yourself, wait, that's the flesh telling me to look at life and reality this way. The Scripture tells me to look at life and reality this way. And then right there in that moment, you have to make a decision. I'm going to believe the Word of God. I'm not going to believe my flesh. I'm not going to trust my flesh anymore. My flesh always lies to me. But the Word of God always tells you the truth. That's what you do. Paul says, he says, "Therefore I desire that you faint not." We'll get to another passage here a little bit later, if I can get going here, where he talks about for which cause we faint not. Okay? But he says, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." See that? He's carrying the message to them. They believe the message. And that's to their glory, because they're in glory. See what he's driving at there? And then he says this, "For this cause," the cause is the glory of God. The cause is this eternal purpose that we're involved in. "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." When he says here, "the whole family in heaven and earth," what does he mean by that? The whole family in heaven and earth. The whole plan and purpose. Look how he said it back at Ephesians 1, how he links heaven and earth together again. Look back at Ephesians 1, and I'm going to go back to verse 9. He says, "Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself." There's the issue of His purpose again, right? "That in the dispensation of the fullness of time." So that's obviously future from us today, right? And notice it's fullness of times. That means it's going to go on and on and on. Ephesians 2 talks about the ages to come. And there's multiple one. Ephesians 3 says world without end. You've heard me say before, this one's going to end, that one's not. It's going to go on without end. See that? So when he says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one His whole family. Now I realize the verse doesn't say it that way, but look how it does say it. He gathered together in one all things in Christ, both which are where and which are where? Even in Him. Now compare that back with Ephesians 3. It's no wonder Paul says in Ephesians 3:14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." God has got a whole family, some in heaven and some in earth, and He's going to gather them together under the headship and authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And He's going to do that according to His eternal purpose. Now, where is your eternal destiny? So who is it that's going to be on the earth? That's redeemed Israel and the Gentiles that are saved during that program and so forth. We've got a whole... God intends to fill His universe with His family. And in filling the universe with His family, it's going to be to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're part of that family. See that? Remember how He said it back in chapter 2? Look back at chapter number 2, verse 19. Go back to chapter 2, verse 19. Look how He says it here. He says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. What do you do? What does God do in the temple? He dwells there. Look at verse 22. In whom ye also... Now this is specifically the body of Christ, the family in heaven, the members of the family in heaven. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God. And what's an habitation of God? That's the place He's going to live through the Spirit. See that? The church, the body of Christ, is the agency that the Holy Spirit is going to occupy forever out there in the heavenly places. Isn't that fascinating to think about that? It's no wonder that when Paul in chapter 3 prays that we would be strengthened by might by His Spirit, that's a connection with the Holy Spirit indwelling us. See that there? Alright, so go back with me to chapter 3 then. And he says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now here's the first part. Paul prays six different things in this prayer. We're just going to talk about the first one today. And we're going to look at some detail here. That He would grant you... So to grant is to do what?
Give.
To give, okay? Right? That He, that'd be the Father, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Now let's stop there for just a minute. Think about that phrase. The riches of His glory. The riches of His glory. Because that's the standard that He wants to see this prayer fulfilled. How rich, how wealthy, what are the extent of God's assets that He has available to glorify Christ? It's unlimited. That's why I say this prayer is one bold prayer. Paul is asking for something in this passage here. You go back to verse 20. Look at verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all... Yeah, no doubt. Paul is asking something at the very start of this prayer that says, okay, God, however wealthy You are in Your capacity to glorify Christ, the riches of Your glory. See that there? However you are, whatever the assets that you can tap and call upon, and whatever the resources you have to glorify Christ throughout all ages, that's the standard of what I desire and what I'm praying for, how strong these believers become. Oh, man. You talk about a prayer that says, wait a minute, Paul. Wait. How do we even comprehend what you're thinking here? And yet this is what he's praying for. Listen, Paul fought real big. There's a book out there, it's in the secular realm, it's been around for a number of years, it's about business growth and sales in particular, and it's entitled The Magic of Thinking Big. It's a very popular book. It's actually pretty interesting to read and so forth. But it's based upon the simple concept that those who are successful and make big numbers in sales and so forth, it has nothing to do with, you know, what they look like necessarily, whether they're male or female, what kind of clothes they wore and so forth, different things like that. It had to do with what they believed, what they thought. Did they think in terms of big picture? See that? The guy that thinks I can only sell $100 a month, that's all the guy's going to do. But the other guy that thinks that, well, I don't know what I can sell because I keep increasing it every month, so maybe there's no limit. See the difference? I'm just using that as an illustration. Paul thought big. He said, wait a minute, Lord. You've placed us into Christ. You sealed us with Your Holy Spirit. You blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We have the Holy Spirit given unto us. There, and we have Your Word. Therefore, the unlimited power of Your Word is available, and the author of Your Word, the Holy Spirit, who is in us. Therefore, Paul is thinking, when he thinks about spiritual strength, he's thinking big time here. And he understands that's what we need. Now, Why do we need that kind of strength? Listen, we live in the present evil world. Scripture says so. It says Satan is the god of this world. It says that he is the prince of the power of the air. So understand, you and I in our flesh, and in whatever level of strength we can call upon in our flesh, it is absolutely no match at all for the adversary, period. So that's why when Paul prays this, that God would fulfill this prayer according to how rich God is in His capacity to glorify Christ, Paul understands that's the resource we need. See that there? That's important to start there, to remember, to recognize that that's where he starts. That he would grant us according, not to our ability, according to not even how much we appreciate the grace of God, but according to the riches of his glory. That's the standard that he prays. Because that's the resource we need to be able to be strengthened. That's the resource we need to be able to stand, and having done all, to stand and to stand therefore. Isn't that something how he starts that way? By the way, let's just, why do we need to remember this?
If we don't, we'll be squashed like a bug.
Can that be any more plain than that? You know, call like it is. Doesn't it bring us back to the fact that we have to remember the proper resource for a walk of faith? We have to remember who is our life. Well, what is the answer to that question? Who? Christ is our life. He is our resource. His written word, we have to remember that. Kind of the parallel we're making. If you want to strengthen your physical body, you've got to remember, eat the right food. Can do it consistently. So too, spiritually, we have to remember where we're going to go to get the proper nutrition, spiritually speaking, for strengthening the inner man. Look at the next part of his prayer here. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. So that's why I say, obviously, this is about spiritual empowerment. But he says this, to be strengthened with what? To be strengthened with might. Strengthened with might. What might that be? Stay in this same book. Let's look at a couple of other places where Paul uses that same phrase. Stay in the same book, Ephesians 6. Look at Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians 6:10, he says this. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. So that's in your recognition of who you are in Christ. You have to know the information. But watch this. And in the power of His what? See the parallel there? So Paul prayed to be strengthened with might. Here he's saying that it would be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Well, what is the power of His might? It's the Word of God. It's Scripture. The power of God's might. The power of God's ability to get God's work done is God's Word. Look at Colossians chapter number 1. Look at Colossians chapter number 1. Have you guys ever heard from this pulpit that before? Just a few times over the years. Whether it's myself or Henry or Rich or some of the others, Nathan and so forth that have taught before. Listen, don't we keep saying it's the Scripture, it's the Word of God, it's the Word of God, it's the Word of God. It's Scripture. We live in the day and age that was prophesied by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4. That the time will come when they will turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, stories, experience-based stories instead of Scripture, instead of teaching the Word of God, like verse by verse, or that concept, okay? They're going to turn away from that. Listen, the power of God's might is His Word. Again, let's make it. I didn't read the verse today. Look at Colossians 1. Watch this. Colossians 1, verse 10. Colossians 1, 10 says this. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Man, that's pretty cool, isn't it? That's a good goal, right? Being fruitful in every good work. Man, that's kind of high standard, isn't it? And increasing in the knowledge of God. Anybody here that would not want that in your life as a believer? You're here because you do want those things in your life as a believer. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That's pretty amazing. Now watch verse 11. Here it is. Strengthened with all what? There it is again. And it's according to His glorious power. That's Ephesians, the prayer in Ephesians 3. According to the riches of His glory. Here is His glorious power. So in all three passages, the idea of strengthened with might, the power of His might, strengthened with God's might. God, the power of God's might that is available to strengthen you and me today is His Word. It's the written Word of God, rightly divided, and in our language today, in a King James Bible. Okay? It's the Word of God. Therefore, how important is it for us on a regular basis to be taking in Scripture? What do you think? It's paramount, is it not? Let's once again use an illustration in the physical realm. Let's say you are training to run a 10K. You know what a 10K is? It's not a marathon. It's a run. It's a race. Whatever. Okay. Let's say you're training to run a 10K, and so you get that good coach, and he's telling you, okay, you got to do this. You need to exercise a certain amount each day. You need to start by walking, then run a little each day, and so forth. And then he also says you also need to have a good nutrition program. So what are you eating now? And you say, well, I'm eating Fritos and chocolate chips and ice cream and milkshake and French fries, all the stuff we all eat, right? Yeah. So, and pizza all the time, three times a day, whatever. Lots of cheese, double cheese, triple cheese nowadays. Plus cheese in the crust, So, just in case there's enough cheese. Just put another layer on just in case there's not enough cheese there, right? And definitely pepperonis, man. All pile that on there, okay? And so the guy says, well, I tell you what. You've hired me to be your good coach and everything. We're going to have to make some changes here on what you're actually taking in, right? So we really have to cut out this other stuff, and we're going to start taking fruits and vegetables and so forth. And of course, you're paying the money, so you're shaking your head yes and everything, right? So about a week later, you're back and you're doing your exercise for that day, and the coach says, Paul, we're not making much progress here. We need to kind of look at your plan. What are you doing? Oh no, I walked today. Yeah, okay, good. That's good. So you walked a couple of miles. Yeah, I did good. How are you eating? I did. We just had that kind of party and everything. It was just Halloween, and there was just all this candy and everything. And so, your coach says, this isn't going to work. You got to use the right fuel on a regular basis. You get my point, right? So, too. The Word of God, Scripture itself, is likened unto milk and meat. The Word of God is the proper nutrition for our soul. Scripture is the Word of God. You've heard me say before, and I'll say it again. Even if sometimes you read a passage of Scripture and you don't even know what you're reading, still read it. Every time you go and eat protein, do you have to say, well, I'm not going to eat that protein until I understand exactly how my body's going to produce the enzymes to digest the protein and break it down to its amino acids and vitamins and so forth. And until I understand that, then I'm not going to eat protein. You do that? No. You eat it because it tastes good, right? It sure smells good when you fry it up on the grill and so forth. Listen, you might be reading a passage of Scripture, and maybe you don't understand what it says. Read it anyway. You might be reading through the Gospels, or reading through Romans, or reading through whatever. Read it anyway. Stay in the Word of God.
Keep chewing.
That's right. Keep taking that in. Keep reading the Scripture. Go ahead.
Double dose.
It is.
Because you're reading His words and you're speaking.
Yes. That's a very good point. Read it out loud.
Intonation.
Yes.
Meaning.
That's exactly right. That's an excellent point. Yes. I think I said a couple weeks ago, I got an email from someone in the church. You know how we read through the Bible each year, Genesis to Revelation, or you read through Paul's epistles 16 times and so forth. And someone here today, he sent me an email a couple weeks back and said that he kind of altered the plan a little bit. And with Paul's epistles, instead of reading straight through Paul's epistles 16 times, he spends a week in each book. And he says, I slow down a little bit and I get morning. That's a great idea. I like that idea. That's a great idea. That was Jim, by the way, back there. Okay, so go ask him how it's working for me and so forth. But it kind of forces you to slow down a little bit. Maybe the first couple of times you read it, you go ahead and read it, kind of through fast, you cover the information, you kind of get the big picture, and then you kind of slow down and let it sink in. See, what I'm saying? I'm saying if the power of God's might is His Word, then since we do want to be strengthened, we need to keep taking the Scripture in. Memorize it. Okay, I'm going to put someone on the spot here. If you'd like to be put on the spot, raise your hand. No, I'm just joking, okay? But I'm going to put someone on the spot here.
Dan.
And in a way, it kind of affected all of us because they're dear members of this local assembly, as you all are, and they had a situation where one of their family members, you know who I'm talking about, had a very potentially serious medical issue that happened. They had to go short notice, major surgery. Brain surgery. Talking about Celeste and their family. So I'm going to put them on the spot. Did you find that you absolutely, in order to get through that, would it be a true testimony to say that you just absolutely rested? You had to stay in Scripture to get you through that?
Well, I think it was excruciating, terrifying pain, fear.
Then repeat that for the benefit of the folks listening on the internet. What she said was this, because I don't think the microphone picked that up, but she said if they didn't, it would have been just absolutely terrifying pain and fear seeing your daughter, your child go through something like that. And even with the Word of God, it had some fear to it, did it not? There was even some trepidation, fear and trembling, Paul talks about. Paul there in Philippians 2, he says, work out your own salvation with the fear and trembling. The fear and trembling oftentimes is still there. So the only reason I bring that up is as evidence of the fact that, you know what, we got to stay in the book. You never know in your life when today or tomorrow some news is brought to you that stuns you, shakes you to your core. And you got to have Scripture on board now to be able to utilize it then. And the power of God's might is Scripture. It's the Word of God. Look at the next thing he says here. You're there in verse 16. To be strengthened with might by His... What's the next? What is it? No, it says the Holy Spirit. Capital S. By His Spirit. You mentioned the idea of having a coach, but not just any coach. A good coach. A coach that knows what they're doing. A coach that's been through there before. See that? Listen, who is our coach? Who is our instructor? It's the Holy Spirit using His Word. There is a teaching out there, the concept that says you do not have the indwelling Holy Spirit. They say it's a wrong use of Bible words. That's nonsense. Okay? The idea, the concept that you don't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Well, where did He go? One of the first times in the book of Romans that Paul mentions the Holy Spirit, he says the Holy Spirit which is given to you. And I understand what they're saying. They're saying, no, the word indwelling is like the concept that you let Him reside there. Well, yeah. But to suggest that it's wrong to use the word indwelling to say that I have the indwelling Holy Spirit, that is such a bad stretch. Of course the Holy Spirit is in you, which you have of God. And you are not your own, the Word of God says. Listen, you and I have the Holy Spirit. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit, I promise. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Godhead who actually lives in the believer. Jesus Christ is in you by means of the Holy Spirit. That verse says, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Well then, who is it that in the end is going to do the strengthening? The Holy Spirit. But if He's not in you, how is He going to do it? He can't. And listen, if you as a believer, if the Holy Spirit ever leaves you, How do you get him back? I'm asking. If you say that the Holy Spirit leaves you when you walk in the flesh, because it's a misunderstanding of Romans 8, then my question is, well, how do you get him back? Well, you have to walk in the Spirit. How do I walk in the Spirit without the Spirit? If I can get the Holy Spirit back by something I can do without having the Spirit, then evidently there was something in my flesh that was good and capable of good. And yet the very passage says the flesh cannot please God. Now that, here's the verse, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. In order for the strengthening to occur, I've got to have the Spirit. And thank God you do, right? You see that? We do have the Spirit. Yeah, then do I know the Spirit. But let me have you look at a verse real quick, and I know we're out of time, so we're going to have to wrap this up. We didn't finish the very end of that verse. We'll do it next time. But watch this. Go with me if you would to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Watch this. This is a great verse, a wonderful verse to teach us one of the many reasons why we have the Holy Spirit. And there are many. I'm at 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 12. He says, now we have received... What kind of word is the word received?
Grace.
That's a grace word. Right, Beth? That's the word associated with grace. You receive the gift. Yes, it's past tense too, right? That's an excellent observation. He says, now we have... Give him a pat on the back, by the way, Dan. Go ahead. There you go. Thank you. Anyway, he says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world. See, we already have the Spirit of the world. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might what?
No.
The things that are what? Freely given to us of God. Why do we have the Spirit? One of the reasons in this verse, one of the reasons we receive the Spirit is so we can know the things that are freely given. So we can know how God is dealing with us on the basis of His grace and know what that means. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost what? So what is one of the main jobs of the Holy Ghost? To teach us. He's a wonderful teacher, is He not? A wonderful coach, is He not? If you compare that back, I know we didn't read the rest of the verse, that's okay, we're just out of time. But if you go back to Ephesians 3 there, it's no wonder then that Paul, when praying for a spiritual empowerment here, or strengthening, he says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. That means we need to depend on Him, do we not?
Mm-hmm.
We need to lean on the Spirit. But how do you lean on the Spirit?
Get in the Word
and trust His Word. That's how you lean on the Spirit. That's how you depend on the Spirit. And then he finishes, then the last part of this is to be strengthened with might by His Spirit where? In the inner man. We're going to have to deal with that next time because there's a lot of verses. Let me ask you to do this for next week. Okay, number one, will you do this? Yeah, Joe says, we said we will. Okay. Well, let me ask it again. Will you do this? Okay, so all of y'all that just shook your head yes, and I know some of y'all didn't, okay? Because you're waiting a minute. John's a trickster up there. Let me wait for her answer to find out what he asked. First of all, come back next week. Okay, so see, I just put somebody on the spot, didn't I? No, just do this. That part about strengthening with might by His Spirit in the inner man, this week I want you to especially focus on and read 2 Corinthians 4, the whole chapter. 2 Corinthians 4, the whole chapter. And I want you to identify, I want you to see the working in the inner man in that chapter. Okay, that's what I want you to do. And then we'll study that next time. Okay? Anybody here interested in spiritual growth?
Yes.
Spiritual strength? You may not be interested in physical strength, which that's okay. Do that too, by the way, all right? You know, just because we want you around longer. But because you are interested in spiritual strengthening, you know, the resource is God's Word. So let's stay in the book, regular basis. You know you have the Holy Spirit. So let's believe His Word. Okay, Jim, go ahead.
You know, it's interesting to parallel because when you work out physically, you need rest.
Yes.
But when you're spiritually, the more that you read, the more you are resting.
Yes.
So it's a parallel for it.
Let's say it this way. The more that you read and understand grace, the more you learn how to
rest.
Isn't that interesting? And have peace. See that? So that's there would be the parallel there. You know, it's hard to rest in this life because we get all so busy and everything. You know, but your point is well made that if you're going to work out physically, you do need to also rest and get the appropriate amount of sleep, that type of thing. So I know some of y'all come to church to get that sleep, but anyway, I'm joking. I just want to see if y'all are still with me there. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead, Tom. How do you spiritually stretch? That's a great question because Paul talks about your faith increasing. So wouldn't that be the concept of stretching? So in the book of Philippians, he talks about that. Watch how he says it here in Philippians chapter number 1. Look at the phrase here in Philippians 1 real quick here. Philippians 1:25, he says, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with all for your what? Furtherance." There's the concept of your faith taking you places you may not have gone before, the idea of stretching you beyond. So that's a very good question, Tom. Yeah. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we're just so grateful that we as a family of believers, members one of another in Christ, can come together and talk about these things, see these things, agree with you about these things, and therefore desire collectively and individually to have these things be reality in our life, that we would be strengthened with might, with your might, your word, by your Spirit in our inner man. We do pray to that end. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen.